It starts off in 1 Kings chapter 2, and it talks about how David slept with his ancestors. And that is just an ancient saying. You have that in so many different cultures. You have it in the Viking culture. You have it in so many different cultures that when you died, you went to be with your ancestors. Now, with those who believe in Christ, we really do go to be with our ancestors. Those before us that have given their lives, surrendered their lives to Jesus, and confessed Him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And so when they have passed away, they've gone into the very presence of God. And then when it is our turn to go, we pass into the very presence of God. And so we are with our ancestors. And so this is just a nice way of summing up King David's life, that he died, he went to what the Bible calls Abraham's bosom, that place of paradise, that place where, you know, he was rewarded for his for the good things that he's done. And then the synopsis of his life was that he reigned as king for 40 years, all right? The first 7 years in Hebron, which was in Samaria, it wouldn't have been Samaria yet, but it would turn out to be Samaria, and then 33 years in Jerusalem, which was in Judah. And so at that time the kingdom was divided, but at the reign of King David, everything was brought together, and we have truly the first unified kingdom. David brought it all together, and David went and expanded the boundaries of Israel and truly made Israel the center of the earth. And that's something that we've talked about in our Wednesday night service, that God put Israel in a very unique place. All right, the first thing that is quite obvious is God put Israel in the only place in the Middle East where there's no oil. All right. So it's just something, I'm sure Israel would like not to have to be dependent on other nations or the United States for its oil, but there's not a drop of oil in Israel. But the second thing is, it was in the center of the known world at that time. If you were going to travel anywhere in the civilized world during those times, you had to go through Israel. And God put Israel right there to be a shining example of what God will do for the people who obey Him. See, Israel was supposed to be a sermon illustration, if I may, to show the world, this is what it's like to serve God. You all have your other gods, and you go through your famines, and you go through wars, and you go all this stuff. This is the nation who serves God, and look at how richly they are blessed. So under King David, the borders were expanded, and Israel occupied what it was supposed to occupy. And then David passes on, and his son Solomon takes the throne. And this is where the nation of Israel, or the kingdom of Israel, excuse me, begins to live its life as God's sermon illustration, because they truly became the richest nation on earth. It was said that during the reign of King Solomon, it's kind of like we have paper plates, all right? If we don't want to wash dishes, we'll go ahead and use the paper plates, and those get thrown out. They said, yeah, you didn't even eat on silver plates back then, because gold was so plenteous that, you know, you just, this silver, oh, that's just like a paper plate. We'll just get rid of that. Silver was, it says dross, which is garbage, all right, because there was so much gold during that time. And so here we have, at the beginning of Solomon's reign, we have the beginning of his greatness and the beginning of his downfall. Okay, and we'll look at both of those. First, we'll look at the greatness. In that it said that Solomon, when he was anointed the king, he was seeking God. And he realized, he had a glimpse of what God wanted to do with the kingdom of Israel. And so he's there in deep prayer before God. And he has the opportunity to ask God anything. Alright? I know of people in our circle of acquaintances that, you know, they'll go ahead and get one of those scratch-off lottery cards or whatever, and they're praying, oh, Jesus, yeah, let me win this. Alright. That's not how Solomon was praying. Alright. He was truly coming before God and saying, okay, this is it, Father. I mean, I'm stepping into some pretty big shoes here. And the first thing is he recognized his inadequacy. And he said, now, he's a grown man. I mean, he wasn't, you know, 50 or 60 years old. He's, you know, but he's a grown man. He said, and he confesses to God, I am a little child. I don't know how to go in and come out by myself. I'm just, can't do anything on my own. I don't have the wisdom to lead this people. God, you have put me in a place where I am destined to fail if I'm left on my own. And so I come to you, Father God, and I'm asking for wisdom. That's all I need. He had a glimpse of what Israel was supposed to be. He had an idea that as a kingdom, Israel was predestined to be the center of the world. He had that glimpse. He had that glimmer, but he had no idea how to accomplish that. And so what he does is he confesses before God, I don't know how to do this. I just can't. So all I'm asking of you, Father God, is give me wisdom. Now, Father God is sitting back, and he's listening to this prayer. And, of course, God knows everything. But let's just say for grins that he didn't know what was coming. You know, he's saying, well, he could ask for military might. Okay? He could ask for riches. He could ask for the death, for the demise of his enemies. These would be things that worldly leaders would ask for. You know, make me rich and all of this. But he didn't. And so God responds back to Solomon and says, you know, because you didn't ask for these things, I'm going to give them to you anyhow. Amen? Because God knew what was important. Yes, he needed to have a king who relied solely on him for guidance, but also whom he could trust with wisdom and riches. You know, I believe that there's a reason why there's a lot of folks, a lot of Christians that have asked for riches. God, let me win this lottery and watch what I'll do for you. And God knows what riches can do to a person. Riches can lead you out of God's will quicker than anything can. Little bit of money, and all of a sudden you think that you know, you're special in God's eyes, because after all, look at all the money that you have. I can't tell you how many Christians that I've seen that have come into money who really think that they are something. They are special in God's eyes, obviously, because look at all the money that they've been blessed with. And I whisper in their ear, are you sure it's God that has given you all this money? All right. So, anyhow, but God sees that Solomon's heart is to be led by God. That's his heart's desire. So now he can bless him with riches. Now he can bless him with greatness. He can bless him with all of these things. And that's exactly what he does. And so the lesson in that for us today is, if we seek God's wisdom, the part that we read in the Psalms, the last verse, was that the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? To know God, to to know Him through His Word is just the beginning of wisdom. And once we begin to walk in God's wisdom, then that opens up more and more doors. As we prove ourselves faithful with what He gives us, it opens up more and more doors. But there is also something else that the Bible says here. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only, that's a big but, he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. Okay? This is idol worship. God has placed one place for worship, and that's Jerusalem. All the prophets, everybody says, Jerusalem is the place where you go to worship God. And so Solomon as yet hasn't built the great temple, but he is not only worshiping in Jerusalem, but he's also worshiping in the high places. And I know he said, well, it's just a little thing. You know, it's okay. I'll worship God here also, but then, you know, at Jerusalem and wherever, it's okay. It's not that big of a thing. But then, remember what happened as Solomon begins to marry foreign wives. He fell into the trap of the other kingdoms that when you sign a treaty, that treaty is sealed with a marriage. He didn't have to, but he figured, oh, more women in my life. What can be bad with this? And so he went ahead and he had these wives and these concubines, thousands. And when they came in with their false gods, with the gods that they worshipped in their kingdoms, where they were raised, where they were little princesses and used to having everything they want. And so Solomon, he was the one that came up with the idea, happy wife, happy life. Okay? And so, because he writes, you know, it's better to be in the corner of a great big roof all by yourself, just in the corner, than rather be in a broad palace with a wife that isn't happy. Let's put it that way. And so, as he allowed these false gods to be brought into Israel, he was planting the seeds of destruction. Now, God would be true to his promise to Solomon. Solomon didn't see the kingdom divided. Solomon reigned over the kingdom. It was a unified kingdom. He reigned over it, and God's blessings were being poured out. And for that amount of time, Israel was the showcase of the world. Look what happens when you worship Jehovah God. And emissaries from all the kingdoms all over the world would come to visit Solomon to find out what is the secret of Israel's greatness. What is the secret of Israel's wealth? And they learned about the knowledge, the wisdom, I should say, that God gave Solomon. And so that part was working. But after Solomon left the scene and the kingdom was divided and you had other kings rising up and now you have all of these false religions being worshipped, all these things taking place in the kingdom that, as we learned on Wednesday night, Israel was God's wife. Alright, that was the relationship that Jehovah God had with Israel. And so, as the prophet said, now Israel has become a harlot chasing after other husbands when God was supposed to be her husband. And so, even though Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and the Bible says, God's words. There hasn't been a person before you that's as wise, and there won't be a king that comes after you that's as wise. But still, he wasn't wise enough to keep himself and his kingdom pure before the Lord. You know, and Terry and I have had the opportunity over 50 years of ministry of leading, raising up, training new pastors. And they would go on to be pastors in different churches, priests in other churches, whatever. And one of the things that I have taught forever and a day, that on the breastplate of the high priest was a saying, and that is holiness unto the Lord. There is one standard of conduct for a minister in God's church, and that is absolute holiness. And the moment that you slip up and let one little seed of sin slip in to your church or to your kingdom, you have allowed the seeds that will bring forth a harvest that will destroy your church, will destroy your kingdom. You know, Terry has mentioned that there are some statistics out that say, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's something like 70% of all ministers are addicted to pornography. And I said, are you sure it's not 7%? And I guess somebody had sent out a survey of some kind, and these people have responded, I hope honestly, and so they have this figure. It doesn't matter if it's 7% or 70%, a half a percent is too much. How can you allow that kind of sin into your life and still expect God to bless you and bless your church? And it's the same way in our families. You know, most of the people sitting here this day are the matriarchs and the patriarchs of their families. That's why we have these coat of arms all across here, all the different families that are represented in this church. We are the patriarchs of our family. We are the matriarchs of our family, the oldest living members. And God gives a special responsibility to the oldest ones of the oldest generation, that we are the ones that need to be especially praying for our families, for our descendants, because we have to hold the fort for Jesus. We have to say, here it is. Sin comes no further than this. I will be the gatekeeper of my house, and we will not entertain sin here. And so it's important for all of us. I mean, this is a fantastic passage of Scripture. Yay! Solomon chooses wisdom over riches and fame and military might. And so God gives him riches and fame and military might anyhow, but the one thing that wasn't addressed was that he still was allowing the seeds of sin that would ultimately lead to the defeat of his kingdom. Amen? Let's not have that in our lives. Amen? Don't entertain foolishness. Don't entertain sin. And let your children and your grandchildren see that you're still a praying grandmother, that you're still a praying grandfather, and that you are holding your family up before the Lord in prayer. And you know, you have to be the gatekeeper spiritually. You may not be involved in their lives physically, but in the spiritual realm, you are still the one that stands in the gap against sin. Amen? Now, as smart, as wise as Solomon was, he was as dumb as a stone when it came to sin, because he let just that little bit in. Let that not be said of our families. Amen. Father God, we come to